Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you so much for being here tonight. You know, whenever I hear that song sung, I wonder when I get to heaven one day if I could ever get a chance to meet the people who supported and gave money to a missionary by the name of Eddie Woodfield. And no one's probably ever heard of Eddie Woodfield, but Eddie Woodfield surrendered his life to be a missionary and went to the country of Spain to start a church there in Rota, Spain. And my dad, as a drunk Navy sailor, heard the gospel for the very first time from that missionary. And my dad got saved. And my dad surrendered his life to missions, has been on the mission field since 1979. And through his influence in my life, I came to know Christ as my Savior and now serving the Lord on the mission field, all because some people I've never met gave so that Eddie Woodfield could go to the mission field. And I praise God for that. And one day I hope to be able to look them in the eyes and be able to say, thank you for giving to the Lord, because I am a life that was changed. Amen? Praise the Lord for that. Well, take your Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 33. Isaiah, chapter 33. I want to try tonight to be a help and a blessing to you. I remember last time I was here, Pastor Esposito told me, he says, our people like good, hard preaching. And so because he's said that, this place has always been a favorite place of mine. Amen. And so praise the Lord. Isaiah chapter 33, let's read our text this evening. The Bible says in verse number 20, look upon Zion, the city of our solemnities. Thine eyes shall see Jerusalem, a quiet habitation, a tabernacle that shall not be taken down. Not one of the stakes thereof shall ever be removed, neither shall any of the cords thereof be broken. But there the glorious Lord will be unto us a place of broad rivers and streams, wherein shall go no galley with oars, neither shall gallant ship pass thereby. For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king, he will save us. Thy tacklings are loosed, they could not well strengthen their mast, they could not spread the sail. Then is the prey of a great spoil divided, the lame take the prey. I want to bring to you a sermon tonight with this thought, keep the ship tight. Keep the ship tight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for the privilege of serving you. I thank you for the members of Pacific Baptist Church. I pray, God, that you'd bless them and bless their giving, bless their soul winning. I pray, God, that this church will continue to grow. This church will continue to be an influence in this community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We do pray for Pastor Esposito, Lord. We pray, God, that you'd continue to put your healing hand upon him. And, Father, we pray, Lord, for Pastor Myers. And, Lord, just we pray that you give him wisdom and the staff. And, Lord, I just pray that this church will go on and not skip a beat. And I pray, Lord, that the next time that I come here, that I will come and continue to find this church keeping the ship tight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We live in an age today where it is very difficult to get people to make covenants. It's very difficult to get people to make commitments to the Lord. And although we tend to make commitments to everything else, and we make commitments to banks, and we make commitments to mortgages, and we make commitments to all kinds of things, and we make sure that we keep those commitments, it's for some reason very difficult for us to make and keep any commitments to God, whether it be in the area of soul winning or giving or church attendance or whatever. And I know that you've heard this before, and I know that as missionaries come back off the field, we are able to see things with eyes that you cannot see. And the eyes that we are seeing with and the eyes that we are observing our churches in are eyes that have not looked upon the American culture and the American churches for 4 to 5 years. And I know a lot of times we look at the Bible and We understand when Paul tells us that the world has a conscience that is seared. And yet so many times I think that not only the world do we have our conscience seared, but in our churches our consciences are being seared. Because the things that we would never think about doing, we're doing. And the things that we would never think about not doing, we don't do. And I believe the fact of the matter is we continue to live in a lifestyle and we continue to live in a culture and we continue to live in an environment and we get used to everything. And I think sometimes it's very necessary for us to take a step back and just think about where we are. Where we are. I love this church and I thank God for this church. I appreciate what it stands for. I appreciate the testimony that it has and the stand for God and appreciate the Bible college that you have that is training servants of God to go out and do a work for God. But even in an environment like this, it's very easy sometimes to start seeing things get loosened instead of keeping it tight. And what we've seen to accommodate a society that we live in, a very loose society, a society that tolerates things that would never be tolerated, a society that tolerates things that that are an abomination to God, instead of churches standing up across our country and making a difference for God, we're loosening up our own churches. You know, the problem today, you know, we can look at the election season that we're in, and we see that the candidates that are offered to us as choices for leaders of our country, and we see what our Congress and we see what our lawmakers have done to our country. But the truth of the matter is, I believe much of the fault of that is not in our politicians, but it's in our churches. And if we're going to continue to make a difference, if we're going to continue to take a stand in this country, if we have any hope left of being able to survive and be able to preach the gospel and be able to send out missionaries, it's going to have to be a time of looking in amongst ourselves, looking at our personal lives, looking at our churches, and taking a stock at all the different aspects of the ministry and just simply ask ourselves the question, what have we allowed to loosen up? We've heard that expression sometimes from the children of that are older in the home, and they look at parents and they say, concerning the younger brothers and sisters, Mom and Dad, you would have never let us get away with that. I can't believe you're letting them do that. What's the problem is we naturally tend to loosen things up as we go along. And what I want to do tonight is I want to give you some principles from the Word of God and try to help us to understand the importance of having a tight ship. Because if we do not have a tight ship, if we do not have a ship that is tight and all the parts of the ship are where it's supposed to be and all the parts of the ship are strong and strengthened, then we're going to get off course. We're going to get adrift. And pretty soon we're going to lose the direction that God intended for us to go. I want you to understand what he's trying to tell us here. He's using an analogy here. Isaiah is talking about the nation of Assyria and letting Assyria come in. And he uses the analogy of a ship. And if you guys can put that picture up there, I don't know if you have it. But if you could put in your mind's eye an old-fashioned ship. A ship that, whoa, that's definitely, okay, maybe we're going to look at this ship and then turn it off. is there a wireless here? Is this on? All right, very good. If you look at this ship, it's not ships like we have today in our world where are powered by nuclear or powered by diesel and things like this. These are ships that were powered by the wind. They're powered by the sail, and I know I'm saying simple things, but I just want you to get this in your mind here that this particular type of ship, it was very important to have a strong mast, And supporting that mast, it was very important to have strong tackling. And the tackling that we're talking about are the ropes and all the wires and everything that's holding that mast up so that the mast was able to support the sails, and then the sails were able to catch the wind and take the ship where it needed to go. All right? So, guys, you can turn that off so I can see. All right? Thank you very much. And so you see what I'm talking about here. Now, notice what he tells us here in this verse. He says, thy tacklings are loosed. They could not well strengthen their mast. They could not spread the sail. And so as a result of that, they became prey. The Bible even defines it as the lame could take the prey. In other words, they did not even need somebody strong. They did not even need somebody powerful to overcome them. They could very easily be overcome. Their ships could easily be defeated just simply because it always goes back to the loose tackling. And I found that very interesting as I was reading this verse, because when you look at the purpose of the church, and when you look at what the church is supposed to accomplish and the direction the church is supposed to go, everything about the house of God is to be for souls. It doesn't matter what the ministries that you do, even your discipleship ministries, even your teaching ministries, it's all about souls, because you are training future soul winners. You're training men to stand for God. You're training ladies to stand for God so they can get out in the world and preach the gospel everywhere they go. But what's going to happen if we're not careful is when our tackling becomes loose, when the things in our church, the little things, the ropes that are holding up the mast, that are holding up the sails, that are holding up everything about the ship that gives it direction, pretty soon it's going to get off course. I read that many times in these ships you had sailors, and the job of those sailors and the purpose of those sailors was not necessarily to drive the ship, not necessarily to wash the decks, but their purpose was to constantly check the tackling. And so they would be up and down. They would be climbing the tackling up and checking and making sure, because of the salt water and because of the sea and because of the wind, those ropes would have to be checked and rechecked and checked and rechecked. And if they saw ropes that were becoming rotten or ropes that were becoming too used, then they would have to take those ropes out and change those ropes and make sure everything was tight as could be, make sure everything was tight as possible, because the future of that ship, the future of the purpose of that ship and what that ship was designed for was depending upon tight tackling. Now I want you to notice the effects here. The Bible says here that he says, thy tacklings are loosed. They could not well strengthen their mast. The first principle I want you to see here tonight is just simply this. Loose tackling produces weak mast. Now, what is the mast? The mast is literally the backbone of the ship. If you don't have a mast in a ship, then the ship is worthless. It's just a floating box. It's not going to go anywhere. It's not going to do anything. And so that mast was very important. It was the backbone. It was what made sure that that ship was able to hold what it needed to hold, to go where it was needing to go. And so it was very important to have a very strong mast. And that mast, as high as you see, it would go down into the very belly of that ship. And on the outside, it would be so high and it would be pulled upon by the wind so much that the tackling of that ship was what was there to hold it and hold it strong. And once again, I look at churches today and I see churches today that have literally lost their backbone. They've lost their backbone. We're no longer standing. We're giving into our culture. We're giving into to what the society around us wants, because we don't want to stick out. I remember 20 years ago when I went to Uganda, and I'm not going to go into a lot of details here, but I'm just saying when I went to Uganda 20 years ago, you understand when I say this, they called it a Christian nation, and so they everywhere you go, you could preach the gospel wherever you go. Women look like women, men look like men. They had laws against homosexuality. They had laws that were supporting the things of God, and for all practical purposes, Uganda, in a general sense of the word, was considered a Christian country. But they all of a sudden had this idea, well, we are third world, and because we're third world, we need to bring in the influences of Western culture, because we have to bring development. And so in the name of development and the name of Westernization, they started bringing in the music of the West, and they started bringing in the dress of the West, and they started bringing the attitudes of the West, and they started bringing all this thing. And now it's to a point where you can hardly go down the streets of Uganda without covering your eyes in shame. And that's just in 20 years. Now, What's the problem? I'm just saying, I'm not surprised that that's the direction the world is going. That does not surprise me a bit. The Bible tells us it's going to get worse and worse. But what is surprising me is when I see the churches doing the same thing. The churches that are supposed to be taking a stand, the churches that are supposed to be making a difference, the churches that are supposed to be standing up and being the conscience of the country and being the spiritual leader of the country, and instead of being the backbone and instead of saying, hey, this is the direction we're going to go and this is what God wants us to do, we have allowed our tackling to become loose. And we loosen this section, and we loosen this part, and we don't go soul winning like we used to, and we don't have the standards we used to, we don't have the belief system that we used to, we don't have the doctrine that we used to have. And I wonder, and this is what I love about Pacific Baptist Church, the fact that you have a Bible college here to train your people in the Word of God and train them in the Word of God. But you know, the problem is many times is we... most people in churches simply follow the standards, and they follow the belief system, and they follow the statement of faith of the pastor. And I'm all for that initially, but there needs to come a time in your life where you develop your own backbone. There needs to come a time in your life where you start believing what you believe and then being able to go to Scripture and say, this is why I believe it and this is why I stand on it. And that's why you have so many times when you have pastors that fall astray and pastors that do things that are wrong and go the direction they shouldn't go. You've got a lot of people, and you've got church splits, and you've got people falling after them. Why? Because people are not grounded. They didn't have their own backbone. Why? Because tackling's loose. And when the tackling's loose, the Bible tells us here that loose tackling produces weak mast. But it goes on with that. Notice what the Bible says here. He goes on, he says, thy tacklings are loose, they could not well strengthen their mast, they could not spread the sail. Now, the sail is very important, because without the sail, you're not going anywhere. The sail is designed to be able to catch the wind. The sail is designed to be able to capture that wind so that ship can go in the direction. And you study about these men when they would go out on the oceans and they would follow the wind currents, because if they found the ship out in the middle of the ocean and there was no wind, they were literally dead in the water. And they would fear for their lives, because there's no way they can control it. May I tell you tonight that as you look at the Word of God and you look at the Holy Spirit of God is compared to that wind. And when I look at that wind and I look at that, the Spirit of God that is supposed to be there filling our sails and supposed to be there helping us go in a direction that He wants us to go to get to point A to point B in His will, many times the Holy Spirit of God is not able to fill the sails because we've got weak mast. We have no backbone. And because we have no backbone, and the reason we have no backbone is because we have no belief system. We have no reason for believing what we're doing, and we've let the tackling becomes loose. And when the tackling's loose, the master weak. And when the master weak, there's no way that you can put a sail up, because if you put the sail up, it would destroy the ship. It's not strong enough. I, more than anything else, desire missionaries to come with me to Uganda. I have met two or three of the students of your Bible college here, and they're praying about what God would have them to do and the direction that God would have them to go. And I told them, tonight I'm going to do my best to talk you into coming to Uganda, East Africa. But you know what? As I look back and as I look at the furlough after furlough after furlough, it seems like less and less and less are being called to the field. It used to be you'd never have a missions conference without somebody saying, here am I, I'll go. And it just seems like in our churches, it gets longer and longer between times that we hear of people answering the call of God and people that are ready to go to the mission field and ready to preach the gospel. And I sit back and I ask myself, has the Lord stopped calling people? Has the Lord stopped? Has he put a temporary stay on his command? What's going on? Why aren't we seeing the missionaries go out like we used to? Why aren't we seeing the call of God on these guys like they used to? And I truly believe with all of my heart, when you look at this principle, it's just simply that God is wanting to use them and God is wanting to send them. But because their tackling is weak, they have no backbone, they're not able to be led by the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God could not lead them if he wanted them, because they're so entrenched in their own lifestyle. They're so entrenched in what they want to do and doing what their life is. I call it the rat race of life, getting involved in that and doing your hobbies and doing your career and doing all these kinds of things that you become so engrossed with that. And I'm not against with those things, but those things, when they start taking the place of the leading of the Holy Spirit of God in our life, we're going to end up going astray. So he says, weak tackling or loose tackling produces weak mast. Weak mast hold worthless sails. And let me just say this. If you're not being led by the Holy Spirit of God and the Holy Spirit of God is not leading you in a specific direction in your life, then worthless sails, number three, make vulnerable ships. Worthless sails make vulnerable ships. You take a ship that has a sail that's hanging and they're not able to go anyplace. They're not able to put the sails up. I mean, they may have them. They may have the sails, but because the mast are weak and because the tackling is loose and because all of these things working together, there's no way they can go anywhere. And so therefore, when they go into battle, when they face the enemy, when they face Satan, when they face the flesh, when they face the devil, when they face all these things that we face each and every day, you find them blown out of the water. And you see people that have been in church for years and years and years, and you see missionaries that have gone to the field, and then pretty soon you find that they've come off the field, or you've seen pastors that go and they take pastorates, and they're there for a couple years, and then they're no longer pastoring, and you sit back and you wonder, what in the world happened? How did they get out of that that ministry? Did the calling of God change in their life? Did the direction that God was having to go change in their life? What is going on here? Why have they shifted direction? Well, when you don't have a sail filled with the Holy Spirit of God, for a little while, you'll go on the momentum of what you had when the sail was filled. But eventually, the momentum stops and you're dead in the water. And when you're dead in the water, you can't move. You're at the whims of the currents. You're at the whims of the currents. As you study the battles of the the old days when they used to battle with these ships that had the sails. And I'm not talking about our modern ships, but the old ships that they used to have. Sometimes we get this idea that whenever they would battle, they would try to aim their cannon so that it would make holes in the ship, and that way the ship would sink. But that's not the case. Because if you sunk the ship, then you would lose all the cargo of that ship. You would lose all the gold of that ship. So the last thing they wanted to do was sink the ship. So whenever they would attack a ship, the very first thing they would do, they would aim their cannon at the mast. They would put shrapnel within the cannon so that shrapnel would go up and tear apart the tackling, so that the mast would be weakened, and so therefore their ships would not be able to maneuver in battle. And when those ships ceased the ability to maneuver in battle, they were sitting ducks for the enemy. And I'm just saying, in my personal life as a believer, I do not want to ever reach a point in my life where I'm vulnerable to the enemy. I want to make sure at all times in my life that my ship is tight and my mast are strong, and I'm standing on the conviction and the doctrines of the Word of God, and I know what I believe and I know why I believe it, and I'm not continuing my life based upon the convictions of my pastor and based upon the convictions of my home church, but I can go out there and say, hey, this is what I believe. This is why I believe it. This is where I'm going to stand. This is where my family's going to stand. We are not going to let anything loosen up. And I'm telling you what, if you'll have a ship with tight tackling and strong mast, I'm telling you the Holy Spirit of God can take you places you never thought you would go. I don't want to ever have something enter my life that would blow me out of the water. It scares me to death. One of the things that keeps me going, if nothing else, one of the things that keeps me going is understanding that I have my father that has gone before me, and my father has floated his ship, and his ship stayed firm, and his ship stayed tight, and I saw him on the mission field year after year after year after year, continuing and doing the work of God and facing the battles and facing the difficulties, and yet always the ship stayed strong. I've got 6 children, and one of the things that scares me to death is that my children would ever see their father's ship flounder and get blown out of the water. I see those men, as you saw on the video there, these men that I've had the opportunity of working with and had the opportunity of mentoring and training them and seeing churches start and looking forward to seeing other churches started. I don't want anything to enter my life. I don't want anything to come in my life and blow me out of the water and destroy everything that God has called me to accomplish and everything that God's called me to do. So that means every day of my life, I have to inspect my tackling. And I have to look at my life, and I have to look at what my beliefs, and I've got to look at where I stand, and I've got to look at the Word of God and say, all right, what areas of my life are becoming loose? You say, well, you know, I misread my Bible one day, but what's one day? Can you imagine those sailors as every day they would go out and they would go up the sides of that mast checking that tackling, and you would see, well, you know, I did that yesterday. I checked that rope yesterday and that rope was just fine. No, that wasn't good enough. It had to be checked every single day. And whether it's your prayer life or whether it's your soul winning or whether it's your church attendance or whether it's your giving to missions or whether it's your tithing, I don't know what it is in your life. I don't know what your pastor has been trying to teach you and help motivate you with here at this church, but I just want to encourage you tonight to check out your tackling. And make sure it's taut. Make sure it's strong. Make sure it's not weak. Make sure it's not been affected by the salt water. Make sure it's not been affected by the weather. Making sure that everything is tight around your personal life. Make sure everything is tight around your ministry. Make sure everything is tight around your family. Fathers, we need to be checking our homes and making sure the tackling is strong. Those of you that are involved in different ministries in your church need to be checking your ministries and making sure the tackling is strong. Why? Because the tackling is what
makes the strong mast. That mast is what gives us the ability to stand strong in the winds and stand strong in the storms and stand strong in the weather. And that strong mast is what is enabling us to allow our sails to be let out fully and say, God, lead us wherever you want us to go. Lead us wherever you want us to go. Let me ask you a question. Are your sails full? Are your sails full? Are you accomplishing what God wants you to do? Don't look at your pastor and don't look at me and say, well, you're the pastor, you're the missionary, you have what God wants you to do. No, God has a specific purpose for every child of God. And so I ask you, is your sails full? Are you accomplishing? Are you going the direction that God wants you to go? Or is God saying, you know what? There's no way. I can't use that person. I cannot take that person and use him the way I want to use him because the tackling's loose. Remember what Paul told Timothy? He says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be meet for the master's use and prepared to every good work. God will not use dirty vessels. God will not fill ships that are not tight. And so I challenge you tonight, as you seek to accomplish the will of God for your life and what God wants you to accomplish in your life and the things that you know in God's Word is filled with tackling. God's Word is filled with things that will strengthen us and things that will help keep us firm and help keep us together and help keep us tight so that we have the backbone that we need to take a stand in this world so that we can allow the Holy Spirit of God to fill our sails full so that we are able to be at our fullest capacity accomplishing and going the direction that God wants us to go. Oh, may God raise up people at Pacific Baptist Church who will say, you know what? I've seen some areas in my life that have become loose. I've seen some areas that I need to tighten up. I've seen some areas in my life that the ropes need to be replaced. I need to tighten up that rope. There's something that has been affecting that. I need to tighten it up. I don't want to allow myself to become vulnerable to what Satan wants to do to destroy my life. Would you ask God today, God, maybe you could have me be a pastor, or maybe you could have me be a missionary, or maybe you could have me be a Sunday school teacher, or maybe you could let me serve you in some type of full-time Christian service so I can give my life 100% to helping people. Listen, that's fine, and that's a great motive to have. But before you can accomplish any of that, you got to make sure the tackling is tight. You've got to make sure the mast is strong. And I tell you, if the mast is strong, you can let those sails out full. And you can go the direction that God wants you to go. The Bible says there at the end of that verse, he says, the lame take the prey. You know, it's amazing to me when I see men of God fall. It's not the strong that made them fall. It's the little things. When you don't have a sail, when you don't have a mast, when you don't have the right kind of tackling, you don't need a big ship to take you down. It's going to take something small. And Satan will have destroyed your life. He will have destroyed your impact, your influence that you could have had for God in the ministry. Would you stand with me? With heads bowed and eyes closed.